الله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل أمة دخل الجنة إلا أبا. قيل: يا رسول الله من أبا؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أتاني فقد دخل الجنة، ومن أصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected all my friends, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Quran al-Kareem, a deen of Islam which is easy, simple, perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a very long time since I have addressed you. However, before actually talking to you about what I want to really say to you, just let me explain one two masail for you. First of all, that when I came in, the Zawal light was on. So brothers should be educated that while the Zawal light is on, no salat should be performed. Some brothers were performing salat while the Zawal light was on. And you know that three times we do not perform salat: Zawal, sunrise, sunset. Secondly, that immediately after Zawal, you can perform your four rakats of sunnah for the day of Jummah. You do not have to wait for the azan. Many are under the impression that you have to wait for the azan and then perform your sunnah. Before the azan, you were sitting here, and alhamdulillah, the Zawal time expired, but azan was not given yet. You could have performed your four rakat of sunnah already then. You do not have to wait now after the bayan or after the azan or after the azan and the bayan and then make your four sunnah. After the Zawal, you could have made it. Thirdly, that generally we are under the impression that when azan is on, you cannot do various things. For example, if azan is on, then you will stop reading Quran. When azan is on and you're standing outside the toilet, you will stand outside the toilet. Whereas if azan is on and you're reading Quran, you can continue reading Quran. And if azan is on or azan started and you're outside the toilet, you must go in the toilet. Because you've got taqaza, you've got a requisite, you've got a need. The need is that you have to go to toilet. Shariat of Islam is not here to put us into any difficulty. Shariat of Islam is here to make life easy for us. Shariat of Islam says that when you come and have got a need, and salat, faraz salat, stood up, Shariah says you go to toilet first. Sharia does not say that you must come into the salah and you thinking while you're in the salah about your toilet. How are you going to focus? As it is, we don't focus properly. And now you would have taqaza, you want to pass urine, you want to pass school. What you would make for a rakatah? The Sharia is very natural. It says, go make toilet, relieve yourself, free yourself of the difficulty, then come and make salah, then you'll focus a little bit. Also, when the azan is on, we are under the impression, as soon as the azan goes, you can't make any salah. We are being taught like this, that when the azan is on, you can't make any salah. So technically speaking, you were in the masjid, you were in the jamaat khana, and azan went on. As soon as that azan went on, you could have started your 4 rakat of sunnah, and if that azan terminated, it took 3-4 minutes, you should have finished your sunnah by then. But we have been trained, unfortunately, wrongly, that we think that when the azan is on, no salah. Hadith is clear. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make the 2 sunnahs of Fajr salat whilst Bilal was giving the azan, and the sound of Bilal's azan should resound in the ears of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we follow Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was making sunnahs of Fajr when the azan was on. So respected elders, so worry about those few masail. There are a few other masail about azan and ikamat also. For example, that the ikama should be given and then you must stand. Not when the Jummah time the khatib reads the last portion of the Jummah khutbah and you stand up. What are you standing for? Where are you going? Khutbah hasn't finished. And as a call for salat has started, where are you going? What are you standing for? So when the ikama is given, then you stand. And after that, the imam, if he wants to give any guidance, he can stand on the mimbar and say, you come forward, you go back, and you stand straight, and there is gap here, there is gap there. He can do all that. Also, we are under the impression that the muazzin, when he gives ikama for salah, he must stand behind the imam. Whereas in Shariat, he can stand anywhere in the masjid. He can stand anywhere. In the haram, where the masjid stands. And the only time he has to stand in front of the khatib is on Jummah, and not right here somewhere. He can stand there. He can stand right in front. Nowadays, the muazzin, he stands by the khatib of the Jummah. He stands so close that if he has to spit, he'll spit in the khatib's face. The deen of Islam is for our benefit. The deen of Islam is for our upliftment. The deen of Islam has been designed so that we spiritually progress. Good and bad is specified by the deen of Islam. We do not at times understand why Allah wants us to do certain things and why Allah wants us to abstain from certain things. But everything is full of wisdom. Everything in Islam is full of secrets which at times we understand, at times we do not understand. Respected elders, Deen of Islam tells us to practice upon those things which bring the mercy of Allah. And on the spiritual aspect, it wants us to run away from shaitan, gain the pleasure of Allah. And physically, Allah does not want us to do those things which will cause harm to us. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw one sahabi, Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, who was sleepy on his back, sleepy on his stomach at least. He told him, oh, Abu Zar, get up. Don't sleep like the people of Jahannam. Don't sleep like the people of Jahannam. Hadith is telling us, act upon those things so that we are blessed. Don't act like the people of Jahannam. Don't act like the people of transgressors. Don't imitate the evil doers. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing the ruins of Samud. He put his cloth over his face and he passed there quickly. And he said that don't tarry in a place where the azab of Allah has taken place. Where the azab of Allah has taken place, don't stay there too long. Move quickly from that place. But remember, I'm saying, don't stop at that place where the azab of Allah has taken place. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu says that the place where the azab of Allah has taken place, it is makruh to read salat there. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that before we go to sleep, that put off the flame, extinguish the flame. Perhaps the rat or mouse may tip it over and burn your house. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a directive that do not harm our physical selves also. Don't do something that you put yourself into jeopardy, injury. Don't do something that you will cause any physical, mental harm, any financial harm to you. Your house will burn, financially you'll be in trouble. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you do not have a lid to cover your food container, then at least recite Bismillah over it and sleep. So the effects of shaitan don't go into the food. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that protect ourselves spiritually and physically. So everything in Islam is for our spiritual protection, benefit and upliftment. Anything in Islam is for our physical well-being. We do not understand it at times. Understand what I've said now. That's a preamble of what I'm going to say to you. Start with a topic for you. And the topic is very simple. That why Allah Ta'ala wants us to eat certain animals and why Allah does not want us to eat certain animals. There must be some wisdom behind this. That Allah is saying that you eat this animal and Allah is saying that animal you don't eat. And secondly, for example, if I have to take you and put you in a foreign land and you're not a very powerful alim, how you know what I must eat and what I must not eat? How you know which animal I must eat, which animal I must not eat? What are the broad guidelines for you and I that just looking at an animal, you know this animal I can eat, this animal I cannot eat? Respected elders, animals are of two types as far as eating, not eating. And the reason is two, that why we do not eat them and why we eat them. First of all, we have to look at the animal itself, the quality of the animal, the character, personality, behavior and mode of living of that animal. That will determine whether we can eat that animal or not. So what we look at the animal, the quality of the animal, personality of the animal, the behavior of the animal, how that animal lives will determine whether we can eat it or not. And whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about that animal or not. And who touches that animal, blessing or the azab of Allah. Second quality that will determine whether that animal, irrespective of whether it is classified halal, whether we can eat it, is the mode and method of slaughter. The method and mode and technique and mechanism of slaughter will determine whether we can eat that animal or not. So two things we have to worry about: quality of the animal, and secondly, that method of that slaughter. One is the physical method and one is the intention behind the method. Whether this animal is slaughtered for what? For who? For whose pleasure? Taking, for example, now the pig. We know that this is najisul ayn. It is haram in totality. It can never become halal for us. Not the meat, not the flesh, not the skin, not the bones, not the hair. Nothing of the pig. It is complete in totality, prohibited, haram. No amount of cleansing and purging and cleaning can make it halal. Irrespective of whether so-called you slaughter it in a permissible manner, it will still not make it halal. It is haram, total. Now reason. The reason is because Allah in the Quran Kareem has stated about it, that this animal, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes people, then disfiguration takes place in the form of pigs. When Allah curses a nation and disfigures a nation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab comes. The people are disfigured and transformed and made into physical pig shapes. So that is why when the azab of Allah is on that animal, and when the result of the azab of Allah is on that animal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to consume that animal. That's one. Secondly, that medical practitioners now tell us, after studying its blood, meat and flesh and skin, that this animal has got tremendous amount of jarasim, germs, which cause infections. In one of my books, it is called Invitation to Islam, I have discussed this matter from a medical aspect and giving all the scientific proofs that this animal has got these germs and these worms which cause these diseases. Those who are interested can see it on our website, alislam.co.za. So now second reason has come. First reason, because the animal has got the result of the azab of Allah. Secondly, because of its content matter. And thirdly, because of its character and because of its mode of behavior. First of all, it eats dirt, filth, muck. Secondly, that in relationship, it does not bother what and who is in front. It will have relationship with its mother, daughter, and any female coming along. This is the one animal that does not bother about any so-called blood relationship when having sexual relationship. And man is what he eats. Man is what he eats. Those, look around, those who consume the pig and the swine, they are involved in incest, fornication, adultery with their mothers, their daughters. And adultery and fornication for them means no sin, because of what they have consumed, of what they have eaten, and the result you see it in front. Now that is as far as the pig is concerned. Now let us take various other things, various other animals, and go through them very quickly. Sharia of Islam says that you should not eat a carnivorous animal, whether it is animal on the ground or flying. So Sharia of Islam is saying that animal which attacks its prey, which prowls its prey and jumps on it and viciously attacks it, claws it, tears it apart, that animal we should not eat. So a principle comes in mind now, that animal which jumps upon its prey and pulls it and claws it and tears it viciously, the lion, the tiger, the vulture. Now these animals, Sharia is saying, don't eat them. Why? Because that quality is not a neat quality, is not a good quality, it's a bad quality, And this quality should not come into human being. Because when you eat something, that is going to influence you, that is going to affect you, and that is how you are going to behave. That is why we say that person is like a lion and a tiger. When it comes to his dealings and transactions, Shariat of Islam says, that animal which is dirty, that animal which lives in dirt, that animal which breathes in dirt, that animal, when you look at that animal, then you look at it down in a derogatory manner. And when you look at it, you do not feel nice and good. Your system and your body, it becomes repulsive. And you do not respond well to it. And you know that this animal is dirty, filthy, like the mouse and the cat, the mouse and the rat. You say, no, this one here lives and eats in dirty places. So those types of animals also Sharia is saying, don't eat. Why? Because you become repulsive when you look at it. Then comes those animals that injure people, harm people, create difficulty for people, and put people into dangerous situations and fear and threaten them. For example, the snake, scorpion, bear. Any animal that creates fear in you and is going to be harmful to you. And Shariat is saying that you should protect. What I said in the beginning, that Shariat is designed so that we live peacefully. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone asked him that, can we eat scorpions? He said, really, people eat scorpions? Because it's a harmful animal. Someone asked him that, can we eat bears? Really, people eat bears? Why? Because it's harmful. And that which is harmful, Shariat is saying, don't eat it, leave it. Yeah, I will explain to you what masala. Very quickly, I see time is way. Slaughtering in Islam, why we slaughter, is we taking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everything of the earth belongs to Allah. We taking permission from Allah in His name for His pleasure, reciting and mentioning His name, and passing the knife over the throat of the animal so that we get permission to take the soul of that animal. That is why if an animal just dies, we cannot eat it. One, because no permission was taken to eat that animal. To release that soul, no permission was taken. And the second reason why we slaughter how we slaughter is Shariat wants the blood to come out of that animal. Because the blood is in the animal. And when we slaughter how we slaughter, the blood, the flowing blood gushes out. And when the blood is separated from the meat, then we are able to eat the meat. Sharia does not want us to eat the meat which has got the blood inside. Now science is proving that the meat that has got the blood inside leads to epidemics. It's infected. It causes diseases, ailments. Don't you see that when there is a famine in an area or epidemic breaks in an area, people leave that area and they pick up their belongings, but they do not eat those animals that are lying there. They don't eat them. Those animals that just died there, they don't eat them. They don't touch them. Why? Because they have realized now what Shariat has told us 1400 years ago, that animal which has got the meat and blood together, you don't eat it. And when the blood comes out, like how we slaughter it, then you eat it. That is why we don't slaughter the fish. The fish is halal for us without any formal slaughtering, because the vascular system of the fish is such that the blood flows separately from the meat. That is why the Shariat is saying eat the fish without slaughtering. That's why there is no halal going on there. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability. I just started the topic. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us ability to continue sometime. وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين.